You're with SBS Radio.
Wadamuli and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and it's that time of the week again where we welcome to the program Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist, to yarn all things science and technology. Welcome back to the program, sis.
Oh, thanks for having me back, sis.
Lovely to have you back for a yarn to talk all things science and technology. And we start talking about the fact that drinking two or more sugar-sweetened drinks a day could increase your bowel cancer risk. Is this right, sis?
Yeah, this is new research, and it's shown that drinking two or more sugar-sweetened drinks a day in adulthood, it's linked to a doubling in the risk of bowel cancer before the age of 50, and that's especially in women. Now, each daily serving, that's associated with a 16% higher risk, and it actually goes up to 32% per daily serving while you're a teenager. And the cases of bowel cancer diagnosed before the age of 50, they've been increasing over the last two decades, but we haven't really known why. But what we do know is that adults born around 1990, they run twice the risk of colon cancer and four times the risk of rectal cancer than adults born around 1950. So it's the more recent generations that are at that higher risk. And those sugary drinks like soft drinks and fruit-flavoured drinks, sports drinks, energy drinks, they make up the leading source of added sugar in our diets. And 12% of the population is drinking more than three servings of these every single day. Now, although these drinks, they have risen in popularity, especially among the teenagers and young adults, it wasn't known if this intake might be associated with that increased risk of bowel cancer. So researchers, they looked at a lot of people's diets. They looked at 116,000 people who had had their health monitored over the last 24 years. So this was a huge study. And they did find a link between drinking those sugary drinks and early onset bowel cancer. So while it's not conclusive, you know, they do need to do some more studies. Reducing intake is definitely a good idea while we sort this one out. Stick to the water.
Absolutely. Stick to the water, which is what my young ones do, which is really good to see because I know when I was their age, I was drinking a lot of sugary drinks, which I do obviously regret now, older in life, sis. Now we go from talking about drinking two or more sugar sweetened drinks a day could actually increase your bowel cancer risk to talking about drones and wildlife, sis. What can you tell us about this story?
I love the way that drones are being used in especially wildlife monitoring recently. And this is scientists at Murdoch University's Harry Butler Institute. They're making marine conservation more affordable and accessible and reliable by using small drones. And they've started flying them in these small grids to record and categorise marine sightings. And in the case of this particular study, in dugongs. Now, they launched these drones from a boat in the Pilbara in Western Australia during three field sessions across 2 years. And they looked at normal aerial survey methods and designs, which are based on using planes flying over large areas. And then they just adapted it down to using small drones instead. So instead of using, you know, these big horizontal flight paths with these long parallel lines going up and down the entire survey area in a plane, they used a little grid-based system where you could survey one or more grid cells at a time just using the smaller drones, like a chessboard. Now, overall, the team did 240 flights and they sighted a total of 149 dugongs, which is great. And they said that researching animals like dugongs in remote locations has always been a really difficult exercise. And using the drones is now just going to make it so much easier.
That's a lot of dugongs, 149, sis, eh?
It is a lot. lot. It's a lot more than they've been able to uncover on any of these survey flights before. So, you know, not only is it cheaper and more efficient to run those drones, it seems to be a lot more effective as well.
Gotta love that. Now we go from new drone techniques to survey wildlife, such as dugongs in our oceans, to talking about complex passwords and how they aren't always best. How so, sis?
Yeah, so this is some research that's come out. You know those websites, they need passwords that have, you know, special combination of characters and numbers and upper and lowercase letters and all these things. Now, this makes passwords less likely to be compromised by hackers, which is good, but it makes it so much harder for us to invent a password and remember it. And this means that 75% of people, we're using strategies to remember our passwords. Some of them compromise our security. So we're writing down our passwords, you know, on our phones or on a post-it note. Or one of the big things that we're doing is using the same password for multiple sites. Mm. And that is the most dangerous thing that we could be doing online, because once one of your accounts is hacked, all of your accounts are hacked. So password managers are a really great idea. They make up a unique password for you, and you can use them as a little browser extension or an app on your phone. But if you want something even simpler, the researchers, and I suggest this as well, actually, to create a long but meaningful password phrase. So something like, I have a really great black and white dog. And you can put an exclamation mark at the end, you know, you can capitalize every word, but it's easier to remember, but long enough to slow down or stop even hacking attacks. So that's a bit of a tip recommendation from me today.
Gotta love a good password tip. Thanks so much for that hack, sis. Now we go from talking about complex passwords to talking about Australian frogs that don't tolerate human impacts on the environment. What can you tell us about this story?
Yeah, this is a big one. So more than 40 of our 243 frog species are already threatened with extinction, and that's a huge number. Now, frogs, they need to be prioritised in urban planning and conservation decisions to stop further threats. You know, we know that frogs are a sign of a healthy environment, but they are one of the most threatened groups of animals on Earth. And humans have played a big part in their decline by clearing and modifying native vegetation for our own housing and agriculture and roads and recreation. And in Australia, cities and agriculture, they already account for more than half of the country's land use. So knowing all of these facts, University of New South Wales, Sydney, and the Australian Museum scientists, they've made what they call a tolerance index to measure these effects on frogs, accounting for all of the stresses like the roads and the built-up areas and farms and mines and even light pollution. Mm. And this index was based on over 126,000 frog observations from the Australian Museum's citizen science project called Frog ID, which is an app that's set up to monitor frog populations and help us better understand and conserve our frog species. Then they found from studying that 70% of frogs were intolerant of human-modified habitats. They just can't deal with those modifications. They can't breed in them and they will not survive. So the scientists say that many more species will be hard hit if we don't take stronger conservation measures. And the public is being encouraged to continue the count of our frogs and help their efforts using this Frog ID app, so the scientists can continue to better understand our frogs and the health of our ecosystems and biodiversity in general. So if you want to download it to your phone or jump online, it's called Frog ID. And every time you spot a frog, you can record it and then the scientists can use that information.
I would download the app, sis, but I honestly can't tell you the very last time I spotted a frog. I must have been a young child, sis.
Yeah, it's getting pretty rare. I hear them a lot when I'm out on my hikes, but spotting them is getting a bit trickier even out at home. They're just not around like they used to be. It used to be you couldn't even go to the bathroom without one being in the toilet.
So, exactly, sis.
They're getting more scarce now.
Absolutely. That's a good yarn to finish our science and technology segment on for this week. So until next week, it's been an absolute pleasure to yarn all things science and technology with you, Ray Johnston, Wiradjuri woman and journalist. Thanks so much, sis.
Anytime.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.